sovereignly enacted God.
Sure, sure.
There's no man can give himself life, and no man can birth himself in the family of God. It takes the choices of God to deal with that man and bring him under the sound of the gospel and quicken him and make him alive unto God. Amen. That's right. Amen. He said, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespass and sin. You was dead to God, and there was no way you could have life unless God give it to you out of his own mercy. And that's how it works. Amen. It's the workings of the Spirit. That's why Jesus said, which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Amen. It's not a decision. A dead man can't decide nothing. He's going to have to be quickened. Amen. And brethren, life don't come by just facts. Life comes by Christ. And listen, I'm thankful this morning. Jesus said you must be born again. Amen. It's all about what he does in your heart. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. It's the goodness of God. That's just what he said. I appreciate his song, both of them this morning. And thank God for the good testifying. Amen. Thank God there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Amen. It's not man's way, it's God's way. And that's the way God set it up. And the only way you can have it, he give it to you. I'll tell you that. And that's all the grace of God. And I bless the Lord for that. And I'm looking in a little verse here this morning in Galatians chapter 6 when Brother Jonathan talked about it there at the camp. It kind of interested me to look at some of them scripture. Listen, I'm thankful this morning that God, amen, knows what to do in his church. Amen. This is his church. I'm not building it. Thank God I'm not trying to build nothing. Amen. Thank God he's the builder. Amen. And brethren, he adds to the church. He builds his church. He's the constructor of his church. The church is you this morning if you're saved. Amen. The church is not the building. The church is the saved. Amen. Even though we meet in the building, God's given us, thank God first, you know, in the church. Amen. There's problems in the church. Amen. That means there's problems in us. Amen. And brother, listen, thank God I'm glad he's the fixer of it. I cannot fix my own problem, much less yours. Amen. It takes God to do it. And I know that's a general statement, but it's a true statement that God has to do that. And I want to read a few verses here in Galatians 6 that Paul wrote to them. I think, amen, here that we look at this thing and we see and anybody can be overtaken in a fault. He said, brethren, in verse 1 of 6 Galatians, if a man be overtaken in a fault, amen, it said, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And so we look at this thing this morning. God, I want to give you what I think, and you can go study it out. There's two things I look at here. Thank God, a man being overtaken. This is not something he premeditated, amen, to do. It was something that overtook him. I think the right here, overtaken in a fault, it's a mishap. It's something I don't think the man intended to do, but he got himself in that place, and he was overtaken by it. And listen, a lot of people's overtaken, thank God, whether or not in the right place. Amen. And listen, I think this, I think the fault here, thank God, could be an action or an attitude. I really do. I think that in this text, if you read the whole chapter, he's dealing, thank God, with the life, thank God, of the gospel in grace. And then the other said it was circumcision, which is a Jewish thing where they would circumcise the male child the eighth day. And I tell you this, Paul, thank God, took the stand against that because it's not in the flesh. And therefore, it's the flesh. Circumcision's act of the flesh. I'll say again this, and I don't have any time, but I'll say it. In this church, as God gives me breath, there's not one thing you can do to get grace. That's just a gift. It's just the favor of God. God. You cannot figure this out. It cannot be understood. Why would God, amen, such a sinner as I, thank God, say, I pardon you. Amen, my son done it for you. Thank God, my son did it in you. Amen, and this sinful, wicked, corrupt, amen, that God would do that. Amen, they couldn't figure this out, that we men, amen, thought that they had to do something to be saved. In fact, in the one of the things in the scripture, and I look back at it a little bit this morning, amen, that the same thing, amen, was going on back in Acts 15. Thank God, when they said the certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren, that's what he's taught here, brethren, amen, that's never taken the fault, amen, and said, except ye be circumcised after a manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. They was teaching this thing about circumcision. Amen. Was a necessity to be saved. And then he said this. He said, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. The question about being circumcised. Amen. That was set up. Now, God told Abraham that. Abraham, I believe, was at his 86 years old, I think, and Ishmael was 13 when he circumcised, amen, their flesh. Amen. That was a sign, amen, that God gave them the Jews that was circumcised. He did not give that to any other people or nation. Amen. It was only to a Jewish people. And so Paul, when he gets this thing, God give him the gospel of the grace of God by revelation. Amen. By his, and that's why he said, God, give me this. I wasn't taught it a man. It's not in man's religion. Listen, I don't know how to say this morning without people's minds turning 100 miles an hour. But listen to this. God done it completely, everything. And there's nothing you've ever done in your life to deserve it. There's nothing you've ever done in your life to get it. And you can't get it unless he gives it. And listen, all these religious rules that people pack people with, it'll never bring the grace of God. It'll bring judgment on you. Amen. Listen, Romans 4 tells you that. That a man that worketh, thank God, for righteousness is working to the debt. He's a debtor unto the law. And a man that works toward it, thank God, listen, brother, he's only a debtor more because he can't do it. Amen. Now, I know I'm a different man, and God saved me and put the nature of God in me. But I've learned some things, and I'm glad I have. But brethren, people disagree with me, and I know a lot of brethren do. But I'm telling you, you listen to me. You are no better by anything you do. You're better by who lives in
that's
you.
Right, right.
God will never receive you. I don't care what clothes you wear. That's I don't care what Bible you carry. I don't care what the title of the church is. I don't care what the title of the preacher has. Amen. It's going to be grace all the way. And Paul taught that. Here's the battle right here. I believe this. I believe the overtaking in the fault here was a man, brethren, got caught up in the teachings. Amen. And he was overtaken by the teaching of these men in Acts 15, if I could use that, and he got circumcised. Amen. And listen, Paul said, amen, the man overtaken in a fault. Could have been a bad attitude. Notice verse 15 of chapter number 5. He said, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Don't bite and I want to say this. That goes for the home. If a husband and wife bite and devour one another, they're going to destroy one another. If you bite and devour people in the church, you're going to destroy them. That's exactly right. Listen, friend. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. Listen. Any restoration not for vindication is for redeeming them back or restoring them back. That's what it's for. If you come to me and you say, I want to help you, then that should be to restore a man, not to continue to ride his fault. Amen. I know the fault's the issue, overtaken in it, But we're trying to get this man back to where he was, amen, before he overtaken in this fault. Listen, I'm going to give you what I think on this. I really think that this man here, amen, could have got overtaken in a fault in what the whole thing's about that. About the grace of God or the works of man, the law of Moses or all that. And I think this man was overtaken in wrong teaching. Amen. And somebody spiritual had to go restore this man. Thank God to back to the truth. How many times have we chased rabbit trails and chased everything under the sun because we heard this man say that. Amen. And started doing it and got away what? He did say to Galatians, you have fallen from grace. That didn't mean they fell out of the hand of God. That mean they fell away from the teaching of the grace of God in Christ. And therefore, because of that, they're not where they ought to be with God. They have to be restored back to that understanding of the truth of God. If you get in this, listen, when people stand up and boast in what they've done, they fell from grace. I'm going to give you two things about a man that's going to, if you're going to be spiritual to restore somebody. Number one, you got to have forgiveness. You'll never store nobody without forgiveness. Number two, you can't be their judge. God's their judge. Amen. If I'm going to restore somebody that's fell out of the truth of God, say they come in here and preached, or I hope they wouldn't preach it. Amen. Somebody come in here and want to believe that it was falling from grace, was getting out of the hand of God, and you get saved again, and all that, which I ain't ever heard of one of them say they got saved again. Amen. Listen, but that's the way it is. And any error in the truth of God in Christ, amen, and this man needs a start. He needs to see it's all Christ. It's already been done. It's fulfilled. Amen. What he come to do, you can't add to it. You're not going to get no better. Listen, the only ones that know grace is the ones that have received it. You can't work for it. You can't deserve it because you don't deserve it. Why did God do that? Why did God take a man at the funeral home that didn't know nothing about God's grace? And minister that to him when he heard the gospel. Amen. And 6 days later, 6 months later, how long it was. Amen. 3 months. Amen. He gave him understanding of the gospel that was a mystery to a Gentile man. It's a mystery to the Jewish man. It's a mystery to every man. Amen. How could God receive a man just on the account of somebody else? Amen. That done everything for him and don't deserve it. That's hard for you because you got too much pride, number one. Amen. And you want to do something for him. Amen. Or you won't listen. Or you want to pay it. Or you want to say, I've done this or that, and you didn't do nothing. The only thing you done was commit the sin, thank God that the grace forgave. And that's the only thing you done. And yes, just hard to believe, Brother Robert, amen, that he loved me like that. Amen. But he did. Amen. That's hard to believe that. In the natural man. But he did. Amen. Sometimes I think, thank God, how could he love me knowing what he was getting? But I'm saying this morning, the grace is just a gift. Yeah. And you don't earn it, you just get it from him. Yeah. Can you take this? God gives grace to the worst. Self-righteous people say, why has he done that for that man? He's a sinner. That's what they said.
Yep.
Amen. I'm not, Chris said something about it up there. I'm glad I'm not like other men are. Don't know nothing about grace. You want me to pound religion right here? Listen to me. Anybody that sits in a church or a church preaches like this and says, we ain't like them other people by the grace of God only. I'm going to tell you what law preaching does and all these things people preach against and only builds a self-righteous man that looks above other men and they're worse off. And I'm going to tell you this. I wonder this morning if them people's ever been saved. Somewhere along the line, God's going to show you you ain't nothing. And the grace of God's the only way that you're saved. And brother, I'm telling you what, listen, it's all right to beg for anything. But it ain't coming by your begging. It's coming by his giving.
That's right.
You didn't beg to get in this world. God put you in this world by his own goodness. I tell you what, the beggar out there, why did the beggar beg? He is blind. He knew he was blind. He begged for his sight. Amen. Listen. Amen. But I'm telling you, brother, thank God, the grace of God. Amen. It's the favor of God. Yeah. I'm undeserving sinful people. It makes me want to get down and say, Lord, I don't deserve none of it. Oh, how good you are to me, Lord. I'm sinful. I'm a wretch. I'm no good. I'm an evil man without you. Oh, God, how can you love such a wretch like me? Said, I'm something. I'm Independent Baptist. I'm a preacher. I don't do this and don't do that. You're self-righteous. Probably lost. But they're the best people in the world. That's why they dress this certain way and criticize everybody else. But I'm the bad guy. Because I preach grace. And what they preach is law for righteousness and to keep it. Now listen to me. The grace of God will teach you how to live. The grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteous to God in this great world. The grace of God will teach you that.
Yes.
You don't stay in sin when you get saved. That's because Jesus lives in you. Even though you still have sin, you don't live in sin the way you did before you was. But I'm telling you this, friend. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd do worse. What do I have to brag on? What do I have to boast in? You'll never help nobody until you see that you're less than them. How can I restore you if I think that sorry rascal, or if I think, oh God, have mercy on us both? Because the same time I'm restoring somebody, I know in my own mind who I am. And I'm thinking, how can I condemn them? How can I go again and say things about them and I'm as bad as they are? Because why? It's the grace of God. It's all God. Listen, friend, he said, who better taking a fault? He said, which is spiritual. Amen. He said, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Considering thyself. Why did Paul put this in? Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. When you're talking to that person or you're trying to help that man to get back. In fact, listen, this is what this means. It means that a man's sitting up like a broken bone. Look it up. It means it's like a man going to this brother and fixing his broken bone. It's like a man mended a broken net. Do you love people that much and I love people that much? That's what it is. It ought to bother us if anybody in the body of Christ has got a broken bone spiritually. And we're trying to mend the net to keep unity and faith and the same mind of the grace of God, and it ain't the circumcision or the law that justifies anybody. Tough, boy. What's the grace of God do? I told you it teaches you to live for God. You can't live without him, without the grace of God. Notice verse 2. Bear! You went and there's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. This is what that means. The man that sees the brother in weakness carries him. That's basically what it means. If I see Tasha going through something in her life, as a pastor, a preacher, and a brother, as a friend in Christ, then I want to carry her in my heart and bear with her that. Here's what I want to do, basically. I want to take all the weight off of her with that burden I can.
Yep. That's right.
Buddy, this body's
made a sinful people.
Yes.
It's redeemed people. It's righteous people in Christ. Amen. Listen. Amen. And this body, brother, is going to have breakdowns. It's going to have hardships. It's going to have all kind of things. And listen, if the whole body ain't involved in it, amen, God's going to be on one person to do it. Notice what he said here. Bear ye one another's. He said that's the rule of the law of Christ. That's what he did. He carried our burden. Amen. He carries our burden. Amen. Who can you go to that's stronger than him? He carries our burden. But he puts a body together, thank God. Amen. That we might bear one another's burden. This is what Mr. Larry said this morning. I called him. I don't know if I woke him up or not. But he sounded like he was struggling to talk a little. And I talked to him a little bit, and he said, I really need my church. I really need my church. You know what he's really saying? I really need them in my body, the same body I'm in, to help me. That's what he's saying. From a hospital bed. Notice verse 3. For if any man think himself to be something, I love this verse. When any man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, I want to tell you, every one of you, you ain't nothing. You can say it right back to me. I'll say amen. I'll say it. I ain't nothing. I ain't nothing. You think you something, you ain't nothing. Well, when you become nothing, that's when God can use something. Notice this here. When he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. I'll tell you, people like that says this, I never would do that. Please don't tell me that, because as soon as you do, I'm going to say, they soon to do it. Amen. You know, we're talking about in the church, we're talking about serious things that affect the body of believers functioning together. We're not talking whether a man smokes a cigarette or not. If you judge a man for smoking a cigarette, you deceived. You ain't concerned about the body of believers to mend them together and help them. We out here saying, that man smokes. Well, you do a whole lot worse than smoke. Your problem ain't what you pull it in your mouth. Your problem's what's in your heart. Amen. I don't like that stuff. I catch myself criticizing and God slaps me sometimes. I mean in my heart. Amen. God have mercy. God's against some things. He's against some things. He's against pride. What's the first thing he said he hated? Pride. A lying tongue. False witness. Hands that shed innocent blood. He that soweth discord amongst the brethren, he hates it. Amen. Say nothing about smoking a cigarette there. I'm not promoting smoking. That's between you and God. I'm just saying that's not the problem. That's just making you look better. I don't do that. You doing something else, though. Amen. Ain't that right? Amen. I went and preached a meeting for Brother Nee Smith. I say this of all the men I ever met, he's the most Christian gentleman I ever met. He had a mild temperament, but he had preached. He said, Brother Joel, I'm going to meet with Brother Junior this afternoon. He said, he's a good man, but after supper, we're going to go outside, he's going to offer up a burnt offering. I hope that don't bother you. So I said, don't bother me a bit. I ain't the one doing it. Don't bother me. That was year 2000. 24 years ago, both of them's gone now. And I'm going to tell you what, they were tender people. You know what makes people tender? Going through things that cause you to be tender. Preached on that. Somebody's talking about that the other night. I think Brother Robert or Jonathan or curious one of them But brother, the Bible said, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. I want to say this here. Don't compare yourself. Don't say, wait a minute. No. Don't compare yourself. Don't compare churches. Don't compare yourself. Somebody asked me, you got a good church? I said, we got a good God. That's where the foundation is. If anything's good in this church, in this preacher, it's because it's God. Can you beat the gospel? You can't better the gospel. It don't matter who's preaching it. If it's by the Spirit of God, and if it's preaching the truth, you can't better what God has said. If you're a heretic, then hush. If you're preaching that gospel of men and the will of man and all that stuff, but here you can do this. God, I want to tell y'all something. I don't care who likes it and who don't. God never turned his salvation over to no man. Never will. And buddy, when you was reading this morning, come to me again. This, he said he came to deliver us. Can you imagine somebody said he came to deliver us and he's really trying to do it? He ain't tried to do nothing. Did he deliver you? What'd you do to help him? Nothing. If you could have done it, he wouldn't have been, you wouldn't have needed him all the way. You just wrestling around seeing what you needed to say and whatever, and God was doing it in your heart the whole time. Every prayer you prayed on an altar, you got saved because God put it in you to pray it. But that prayer didn't save you, he did. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Why? Because I was in a horrible pit. He put me in the horrible pit. That's right, they brought me up out of a horrible pit. Amen. Listen, he would have never brought me up if I hadn't been in it. I'd have never cried if I hadn't been in it. I'd have never longed, thank God, to get out of the pit if I hadn't been in it. Amen. Thank God. Amen. He brought me up. Amen. I was low. I couldn't get out. He brought me up. Somebody could have come along and said, Joel, do you mind me giving you a verse? I said, no. Go ahead. Joel, do you mind me singing you a song? No, go ahead. But they ain't going to get me out of the pit. Might comfort me a little in the pit. They ain't going to get me out of the pit. He brought me also out of the horrible pit. It was the purpose of God to bring me up. But it was the purpose of God, thank God, to be in it a while, to get so miserable, and it was a miserable pit, and he put me in a pit, and God let me lay there in that pit, and God done that because he brought me to utterly helplessness. You're helpless. It's got to be God. Yeah, listen. Amen. If you don't see that, then what do you think? Everybody ever gets saved brought to helplessness. He shows you that. Hey, listen. You might not see all that, but the moment you get saved, you see it. Well, I was helpless. I was helpless. I couldn't turn the light on in me. I got to go. Here, look at this thing here. Verse 5, for every man shall bear his own burden. That simply means like a soldier's backpack. It's a responsibility for that man to carry his own backpack, carry his own burden. In battle, nobody else can carry that man's backpack. Nobody can carry what you need to carry. He gives you the strength. Listen, I'm going to tell you this. You can't do nothing without him. Thank God give you the grace and strength to do it. I read some other books. I don't much no more, but I used to read a lot of books. I'm not against it. I think it's healthy if it's the right book. But this is the right one. Here's the right one. It's right here. I still read people's commentaries and things, but right here's the right one. And, brother, this book, thank God, strengthens you to carry it. His word does. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. So when you're taught in the word, then you're responsible for what you say and what you do to communicate.
communications when Brother Egger told me that. He said, Brother Joel, preaching's communicating the truth of God. Verse 7. He's preached on this. I'm just going to say a few things. Going, be not deceived. God is not mocked. You know, there's a lot of people mock the ways of God. There's people that scoff at me and you. They don't realize they're ultimately scoffing at God. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, I'm going to tell you this. That just don't mean bad things. It could mean good things. People say, well, that man's getting what he deserves. God help, don't say that. If I did, I'd go to hell today. That man deserves that. I'd go to hell today if it wasn't for the mercy of God. You would too. You can't say, well, that man deserves that. What if I got what I deserve? You got what you deserve, he'd put you in hell. You didn't deserve what his son did for us. Notice this here. For he that soweth to his flesh, after the flesh shall reap corruption. I want to say this now. Listen to me. I'm going to use this in a spiritual way. If preaching is geared to make the flesh better, it's only a corruption in the church. A man asked me, I told you this one time. He said, I told him I had them men there to sing, Bobby and my daddy. He said, do they have any facial hair? I said, not the last time I looked at it. What's that got to do with God? Jesus had facial hair. The Jewish men wore facial hair. It was a proof of their manhood. That's completely, let me say this, facial hair is completely a personal preference. The color shirt I wear is a personal preference. Sometimes I like to wear a white shirt, sometimes I like to wear a blue shirt. That's a personal preference. Isn't that right? Listen, if all you sow in your church is a bunch of don'ts, that's all you got. What that does is it patterns the flesh after an image that the man in the pulpit has tried to get. Can I raise my hand if you won't feel bad about me is that when I first started here in the early 90s, that I wanted people to do exactly what I said because that would back my image that I was a hard preacher. It's a wonder he didn't kill me. He just knew I'd done it in ignorance. And I had a preacher come and say, boy, you got a fine-looking group of people. Wouldn't it have been better if he said, thank God I felt the Holy Ghost in them people. That's the way teenagers are, most of them. They want to look real neat and nice before their friends that they accepted. We still got some of that. That's why I thank God people, I called and a woman answered the phone and said, I said, I'm going to drop by and see you. I'm in the neighborhood. Y'all get in there and clean the house. I want to tell you something right now. I don't do that much, but that house cleaning business and all that stuff don't mean nothing to me. I mean, far as you're going to do it just because I can say, they had a clean house. It don't mean nothing to me. The main house is this one. I didn't come to visit your living room. I come to visit you. I like clean houses. That's better than dirty houses to me. But I ain't got no say-so of what you do at your house. Amen. If you want to go stand on it, thank God on the roof today. And amen. Thank God, hold a sign. It don't matter to me. No, it really don't. It's your business. I'm going to preach this morning, and when things come to me, I'm nailing the hide off of it. It ain't nobody's business what I do at my house. But God, and I am responsible to the church in some way, but I ain't going to please y'all in everything I do. I don't have to wear a suit to prove I'm a preacher. The Holy Spirit has to do that. Amen. I ain't going to go out, thank God, and look like a hog. Or praise God, somebody, thank God, that amen. And people say, man, that man, he stinks. I mean, hygiene, praise God. Amen. I think you ought to be proper the best you can, but I like relaxation better than I do looks. Sometimes I wear my shirt tail out and it surely feels good. And somebody said, well, that man there says he's a preacher. He's got a shirt tail out. I said, believe what you want to, no matter to me. When you ever get to this, and you hardly do, some people don't, but if you ever get to the place that it really don't matter what they think you are, amen, just because you're falling, that you're trying to follow a pattern and not follow your own, enjoyment of liberty. The Bible said to mind your own business. My good people back here this morning. Back there, Mr. Lingle, Miss Mandy and Kate, my mama. I love mama and I appreciate God helping her. Listen, I don't never call them try to find out what they're doing. I don't say, where y'all going to eat tonight and what kind of clothes you going to wear? And did y'all go to Walmart last night? And did you hear about so-and-so? And what that does is it always adds something more to it. Don't let this kill this message now. I can get off of it and get back to Christ. And I'm not just preaching that because I'm not built that way. I thank God I'm not. Some people know all the news in the neighborhood. You know why? Because they want to. Right, here's a dangerous thing. Social media is dangerous. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. Nothing's evil in itself, it's what you do with it from your heart. That's a true statement. You think it out. Nothing's evil in itself, it's what you do with it. If you take something illegal, it's not wrong looking at it, it's wrong taking it. There are some things that's wrong looking at because it only defiles the inward man, but it is wrong. Amen. Listen, the problem ain't the picture. The problem's the heart. The gun ain't the problem. The problem's the heart. The words ain't the problem. The problem's the heart. If you got a problem this morning, the problem ain't with me. If you got a problem, the problem ain't with your husband. The problem's with you and your heart. If I get mad at the guy on the road, say something about it, get all mad and can't pray, problem ain't with the man that pulled out in front of me, the problem's my heart. At the same time, I could have called him every name, or I could say, God bless that man, help him drive better. But here's the thing. Whatsoever man soweth, spiritually or fleshly, he reaps. Here's the thing, folks. Let's just be honest. We can't come in here and be spiritual if we ain't walked in him during the week. And that don't mean we walk with him all the time, because you don't. I don't. He walks with me. The difference. He walks with me because he's in me. Am I going to be obedient and walk with him and enjoy the blessing and fellowship of God? Amen. Do you not think that God, amen, listen, how many days have we lived so carnal, amen, listen, and done everything we wanted to, and God never left the house? But he never put his blessing in the house on that. As far as the communion and fellowship. Amen. If you sow green beans, are you looking for corn? If you sow corn, thank God, are you looking, hey man, thank God for okra?
If you sow something, it's going to come up. You sow, thank God, what you sow comes up. I'm glad all of it didn't. God took some of that away. Amen. Thank God for that. But I'm saying this morning, as a child of God, what we sow comes up. I won't give you this, and I'm going to move on and finish this thing up. Here's the problem. Everybody says it's somebody else. No, it's you. It's me. It's not nobody else. The devil can't make you do nothing. God help, I hope I didn't blow this message. I was wanting to get somebody on that spiritual restoring the brother. Here I'm preaching about things. But I'm going to tell you what, brother, you're going to have to, listen, Brother Keith, pick a committee of one, and that's you and God, and me, and I'll put myself in it. Yeah. And put it in this circle. And he'll say, now you're accountable. And what my accountability is to God is it affects her. My life affects her because she's one with me. I really believe he's talking about spiritual things here. I'm going to use this verse here and I'm through. That's just the one I want to preach on too. And let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So here's what I look at as a possibility you could faint if we faint not. And basically, Mr. Tristan, what you said is what it means. Throw in the towel. We fainting. They fainted by the brook, thank God, and David still blessed them. I almost fainted. I fainted on that. Listen. He's saying here too, do well with the calling God's give you and don't faint on it. I will say this, I can go through so many things. As a preacher of the gospel, I would have fainted if he hadn't held me up. As a teacher, as a singer, as a mama, as a daddy, as a husband, as a wife, how many times have we felt so faint? And he said, be not weary in well-doing. Do what you're supposed to do. Stay with it. Amen. Because the fruit will come. But if you faint before the fruit comes, you'll not get to enjoy the fruit. Use Miss Kayla, for example, in close. I would say this is a true statement, and I don't know it for sure. I would say that of all of us that prayed for her to have a child, she had the strongest faith of all of us. But I guarantee along the way she became faint some. Huh? Zeba's about the top of the hill, and they about ready to give up. And he topped the hill with raisin cakes and wine and everything else to restore their strength to go on. If they hadn't have topped the hill and they met, then they'd have missed it. Now here's the thing. I believe in sovereignty. You know I do. I believe God's in charge of everything. And if they didn't, if they come up short, then we just got to trust him. I'm telling you what, he said, be not weary in well doing. You're going to get tired of teaching. You're going to get tired of, who don't get tired of doing things every day, the same stuff? That's boring, ain't it? Huh? I mean, that's boring. I mean, that's